to an 8 o'clock hour here on Fesco and Dusty. Day moved a little bit faster than yesterday, not as gloomy. Look at that blue sky, Bob. Look at that blue sky.
I wasn't
going
to jinx it. I saw it starting to peer out from behind the clouds. We're getting there, folks. We're getting there.
Bob was down bad yesterday, Mac. He's like, the day's dragging. It's still raining.
It was awful yesterday. Bad day yesterday. I mean, it was brutal. It was gloomy. It was rainy. It was slow moving.
The whole weekend was.
I mean,
it wasn't the whole weekend. It was Sunday and Monday.
Yeah.
I mean, that's fair. But Saturday wasn't like...
There wasn't any of those moments where you're like, I'm just going to be outside all day and you know, do what the beginning of summer is supposed to do. It was colder. It was gloomier. It was on and off rain. It just wasn't great. But hopefully we start to see the sun later on today and we don't get rid of the sun for a very long time, right?
Here comes the
home. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba. I'm loving it. Well, hello, everybody. Happy Wednesday.
So that is the sounder for the Fesco and Dusty poll question on 96.5 The Fan or The Fan 96.5 on X, where you can vote, where we have put up a poll for you. That poll is quite simple. It is win totals for the Chiefs because we are 100 days away from the Chiefs' first game. And how many wins do you think they have this season? Do you think they have anywhere from 16 to 17? Do you think it's 13 to 15, 10 to 12, or less than 10?
Mm-hmm. What are the results?
Yeah, 151 votes, 61.6 say 13 to 15, 29.8 say 10 to 12, 7.3 are on Team Fesco with 16 to 17 wins, and then 1.3, less than 10 wins.
So how many votes is the 1.3%? Can you see
now
that?
Now it says 1%.
So 1%. So what do we get like?
There's 191 votes. Okay, how to figure out 1% of that
two,
is?
Two people have voted for under 10 wins.
The same amount of people that voted Halliburton is overrated.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. You see his shooting last night. I mean, it was pretty damn good. He was really good.
Yeah, he put a nail in your guys' coffin. He put you out of your misery, though, at least.
Yeah. No, it's true. Yeah absolutely.
Because now you can just... You know, peak.
Yeah, right, exactly. You know? But, I mean, you're going back to the Garden for Game 5. That's interesting because of what the Garden is, you know, and the ancillary stuff that may go on there, you know, with the celebrities and all that. But,
Right. Yeah,
I mean, it's over as far as the NBA is concerned. And they're going to have their lowest-rated NBA Finals ever unless the Knicks find a way to come back and beat, you know, a very good Indiana team. But people aren't going to tune in for Oklahoma City and Indiana. They just aren't.
So your boy Gronk,
yeah. It's not Gronk. It's Gronk.
Might as well be Gronk.
Might as well. It's the same thing, right?
It's a robot.
Yeah. I think the Chiefs will win 5.
Me know that not real money, Tom.
I went to the greatest of all time, right?
Shout out Nikki Glaser.
Yeah, so good. And then the cutaway to him, he's like, huh?
Nailed it. Top 3 joke of all time.
Oh, it was so good. He's like, wait, what? Was that about me? Huh? But Gronk, I asked Gronk, the AI feature, if you will, on X, formerly Twitter, what do you think the Chiefs' record is going to be? And they said either 13 and 4 or 12 and 5. And so we've got our poll question up, obviously, and you can vote in that. If I said to both of you guys right now, Mac, Dusty, text line, everybody, if I said to you, the Chiefs will go 12 and 5 and they will be the 3 seed, are you going to take that right now or will you play out the season?
We'll play
door number one is 12 and 5 in the 3 seed. Door number two, play out the season.
Play out that season, dude. Play out that season, daddy.
Yeah. Yeah, play out the season.
Because they've, been the 3 seed once under Mahomes?
Right, went to the Super Bowl.
The worst seed, yeah.
Beat Buffalo and Baltimore on the road.
And that was Kadarius Toney's fault.
That's exactly right.
Beakley's still pissed about that. He's like, you realize they lost that game to Detroit because of Toney, and they lost that game against Buffalo because of Kadarius Toney?
Right.
If they win both those games, they win the outright overall matchup against Baltimore, and they get the playoffs with 1 seed.
You know, they could have won the Super Bowl.
Right.
Oh, never mind. Yeah. So you're taking play out the season.
Oh yeah.
You're taking play out the season. Right.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, I'm gonna trust this team and 12 and 5, yeah, they could do better, right? 13 and 4. One game more probably gets in that 2 seed.
Yeah, right. And so I'm playing out the season too. Mm-hmm. I think 12 and 5, at least in my opinion.
Now we've all got to say why.
Yeah,
because nobody has a different opinion.
Well, but my opinion is they're much better than 12 and 5, and Andy Reid is a coach that when it was a 16-game season, you'd roll out of bed and win 11 games. It's now a 17-game season. He's going to roll out of bed and win 12 games. How many more is he going to win on top of that? And that's why I think, because number one, it's a revenge tour. Number two, it's the senior year. And number three, I feel like they believe, whether you believe it or not, right? Whether we believe it or not, They got done wrong in that Super Bowl. A lot of negative conversation about them quitting in that Super Bowl. There's a lot of revenge on their mind. And I believe when they play with that sort of edge, they play better than they've ever played before. And I think that's the sort of edge we're going to see this team play with this year, because they know deep down inside, Patrick does, this is it with Travis. We ain't going down in a bore. We're having fun this year. And I think it's going to be a wildly entertaining season. And I think 12-5 is just the tipping point for where they are right now.
What is, can I ask you, you know this, what does FPI stand for rankings?
FPI. I know, now I know that, but I can't think of it right now.
It's got to be good.
Footprint index, I think, is what it stands for. How big your foot is.
So Caglione's one on the list. No, it just says, I just saw this thing up here and I didn't know what FPI was for football. And I was trying to figure out if it's as simple as it could be for an acronym, like football percentage index or something like
football
that.
Football power index.
Okay, yeah. So football power index, the Eagles are one, the Chiefs are two. That's why you play the season out. Mm-hmm. Like, they're still that team. Whether they are better than most of the teams they play, which they are, they still carry that Chiefs logo, that aura of having to come to Arrowhead. They have Mahomes. Like, even if a team is having a better year, like, watch Washington. Watch that game. That, to me, is a fun game for many reasons.
It's going to be great.
That is an up-and-coming quarterback. Very, very prized card that I figured out now that Alex Gold has got me addicted.
Oh, you're in.
I'm in, dude.
You're in sports cards.
Stop.
Okay, wow.
Going again today.
That's awesome to get more.
Oh,
damn.
Yeah. And I got some on Amazon coming in. So
damn, you're hooked.
I'm hooked.
Are you ripping them all as you get them?
Okay. Oh, yeah. And then got sleeves, and then I have a bag that I'll give to my buddy's kid.
Let's go. All right. New hobby.
Yeah, yeah. No longer buying bourbon and tequila.
Going sports cards.
So you budget, right? You got to budget.
Yeah,
you can't
exactly.
go down that slope.
Balance. Mm-hmm.
But I just think that the Chiefs are who they are. And like when Mahomes plays Jaden Daniels, there's going to be a couple of those moments where Mahomes.
When is that game?
Oh, gosh.
Is it early?
For which one?
Washington. It's.
I hope for Washington's sake the game is early so they're not dissipated by the time they get here. And then it becomes a good matchup. And it is a good matchup versus if Washington's a middling franchise and then people are like, they're not that good at
which
this point.
Which they won't be. I think they have a good head coach who wants to just let it effing rip. And Dan Quinn and Daniels, they built that team. They went out and stole from Houston. They have a left tackle now. They went and got Debo Samuel. They have Scary Terry. They've got a good running back
it's
tandem.
It's interesting you mentioned the coach wanting to let it rip, but I think he does, and I think that's a big difference.
Hell yeah.
I think Dan Campbell understands the fun aspect of sports. Not many coaches do. He gets the entertainment aspect of sports
and
understands, you know what? I blew a Super Bowl one time. I ain't doing that again. I'm going to go out with a blaze, and I'm going to have myself a time, and Dan Campbell's putting on a show.
No regrets. Not even one letter.
No.
And what is the week that they play Washington?
Eight.
Week eight?
Oh, middle of the season.
So right before Buffalo and then right before the bye.
Yeah.
Hello.
Prime time.
Yeah, hopefully that's not a look-ahead game for Washington.
Yeah.
So why are you taking door number two and playing out the season?
I mean, part of what you guys have said, but I think you mentioned the, you know, vengeance, the loss of that Super Bowl, the wanting to come back. That's a lot where I had, but also the division. I think the division chirps are a lot higher than they have been in years past.
No doubt.
And there's justification, right, for some of that. Mm-hmm. These teams have improved, but it's been, what, nine seasons that the Chiefs have won the AFC West? And we hear the Chargers.
It's a good angle.
We hear the Chargers offseason championships. Now we're hearing, the Broncos. And, wow, Geno. I'm Ashton Gentry's running out routes. Brock Bowers, he's the best tight end in the league. Travis Kelce's nothing. He's washed.
Yep.
I just think, wow, they're all looking over to these other teams. They're ready to crown another team in this division. And that gives me a lot of motivation and hype for this season just to say, you know what? AFC West champions is for the 10th year in a row.
Yeah, I think that's a great, great, great take because you're right. The division has never been an issue before. It's never been a situation where they've been doubted. It's always been a given that they were going to win the division. Now you've had Carringtons of the world out there claiming the Chargers and that kind of nonsensical stuff. But it's never been real, right? It's never been real. But there is some realness this year. Bo Nix is legit. Their defense is really good. You know, the Raiders, as you mentioned, are a lot better. I mean, they're actually breathing.
They're competent, yeah.
Yeah, they actually have a pulse right now in the Chargers.
They're off life support.
Yeah, the Chargers, you know, got Bosa hurt, but, you know, they got a middling quarterback with a coach who wears cleats to throw out the first pitch at Ridgeland. But you know, it's the first time that people are legitimately saying the Chiefs may not win that division.
Good.
And that's just another thing that they're writing down in their ledger to have to go out there and go 17-0, 35-0. Let's do it.
And then at the end of the season, when they win the division for the 10th consecutive year and they're the one or the two seed, they look at everybody in their division and say,
who's the man of the game? I am. You guessed it. Why not? Who knows? I do. Never talked to me about before. This guy is me. That's how I know you know.
That's right. Coming up next, it's Mike Gershley. He joins us to talk all things Cags. And Bob's going to ask, what the hell didn't you send Gordon? Here on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty. Make sure to follow us on Instagram at TheFan965 for behind-the-scenes content from the show. Kansas City's FM sports station, 96.5 The Fan.
Omaha, there's somebody out there, Mike Gershley, that just joined your guys' squad that's kind of known in Kansas City. I feel like there's a guy named Jack Caglione out there right now.
Who's that? I don't even know.
Have you met the kid yet, Gersh?
Is he cool? Tell me everything.
Yeah, I've met him, but I didn't realize we had that many people in Omaha until last night.
That's right.
Yeah, they're all out to see. What was the crowd like last night to see this kid?
I mean, there were a lot of people out there, but I'm not sure how many extras came out. But, you know, it's fun to watch them, and we're excited for him.
So, Mike,
he's got a lot of work.
Yeah, go ahead. Sorry.
No, that's fine.
No, I was going to say.
He's got a lot of work to do yet.
Yeah, you see what he did last night, 0 for 5. I don't necessarily think that's a huge bad thing to think about, because now you get to see how the kid reacts to going 0-for-5 in his home debut against fans that came out to see him. What kind of poise does he show you as a manager of this ball club?
Well, he's been good, you know, and he's had a couple games like that, but he's a kid that just works his butt off and just wants to be there and get there, I should say. And, you know, he's going to continue to work, and he knows there's things to do with this swing, and, you know, he's getting his reps in the outfield and playing some first base, and he's just having fun. He's enjoying it. So
you mentioned he's got some things that he needs to work on. We got the naked eye, Gersh. Like, we don't know what's going on with players or how we know when they're ready to be called up. From a baseball side of things, what does he still need to work on, in your opinion, before everybody goes, okay, he's here?
Well, offensively, you know, it's just they're throwing him a lot of off-speed stuff, you know, and then just changing speeds on him and try, like, the way they mess with all players. And he's got to be able to make that adjustment. He's doing a good job. He really is. It's just amazing the power that this guy has. So, you know, he can take a swing one-handed and hit the ball out of the ballpark. So that's good to see.
Yeah, I think.
But also, no, go ahead.
I was going to say, I think the other thing, too, that's great about seeing what he can do at certain levels, he's answered the call everywhere he's gone. You said the power's there. How's the defense look? I know he's played a lot of first base, but he's been with Rusty Kuntz yesterday in right field. How's that sort of process look as well?
Well, as long as Rusty doesn't mess him up, he should be okay in the outfield. So.
Perfect. That is fantastic. I mean, is Rusty going to have the same kind of impact on Cags that he had on Gordo when he was sent down and changed from a third baseman to an outfielder?
Yeah, I mean, Cags is athletic, so, you know, he's a big fella, but he still moves around good out there, and, you know, he's picking things up. He hasn't had a lot of balls in the outfield. He's only had like three balls. He's played a few nights out there, and he's only had like three plays out there. So he's got to get his reps out there and, you know, see what he can do. But, you know, as far as throwing the bases and things like that we work on, he's done a real nice job. He moves around good out there. He's athletic for as big as he is.
Mm-hmm. Going 0-for-5-2 last night, maybe the first time that this kid's ever really faced adversity in baseball. I mean, going into tonight's game, are you interested, intrigued? Is that something that we're going to look at to see how he responds to going 0-for-5 the night before for maybe the first time ever?
Yeah, I'm a little bit interested in seeing how he is, but he's fine. He's level-headed, you know. he's not a guy that, you know, is a high pick and thinks that, you know, I'm just going to walk in and be a Major League Baseball player. He knows he has work to do, and, you know, it takes time. You know, I've had Hosmer, I've had Moustakas and those guys here at this level, and they run through their problems, you know, and they work them out. And, you know, they know that baseball is a negative game. I mean, heck, you look at it, you make out 7 out of 10 times, you're a possible Hall of Famer, you know. So that's just one thing these guys got to understand. And I think he does understand that, but it's just, he's got to get his reps, you know. You can't rush kids to the big leagues, and we'll see where it goes. But I mean, this kid's exciting to watch play. And he, like I said, he's level headed. You know, I was down at spring training with him this year, and, you know, down there, guys start the game and they play their 5 innings and then they leave. You know, they go home just to get away from the field and whatnot. But he's down there and he started the game, and it's the 7th inning. He's still there. I go, Keggs, what are you doing here? He goes, Jersh, I haven't done anything in professional baseball yet. He goes, I got to be here and watch this. So that way, I really like the way he reacts and acts around the baseball field. He knows he hasn't really done anything yet, you know, to deserve the right to leave games early at spring training and things like that. So,
yeah, he's where he, I ask you, what's more impressive, his like physical traits, his power, or his head on his shoulders?
All of them.
No doubt.
All right. So who else is down there besides Cags that we should be getting excited about? Because it seems like everybody's coming up now. We saw Rave get called up. We see the kid pitching tonight, Cameron tonight. Lofton's been called up. Like, there's been a lot of talent that's been called up from your organization, Jersh. Who else is on the list?
Yeah, I don't know. I'm having trouble putting a team on the field. They're taking all of them. So
yeah.
No, and that's good. That's what we're here for, you know. We're trying to get players to the big leagues and help our big league club. So Devaney's been doing a good job, our shortstop, and he's playing some second base, some third base, but, you know, he's sort of stuck because with the infielders we have up there, you know, it's tough for him to make a move. But he's been swinging the bat good and playing good defense around the infield. You know, we've got, who else do we have? We've got, you know, Maley's back and he's done a good job for us. He's getting in shape again. You know, he's had off for 2 weeks, but, you know, he's a possibility if, you know, something happens to Salvi or, you know, those guys up there, that he can step in again and go up and help them out. So, pitching wise, you know, we're Rich Hill just showed up last night and he's going to start for us on Sunday. It's amazing, that guy.
The guy's like 90. Like
he looks like he played when I played, but he's in great shape. This guy's unbelievable. So, and a good kid. I say kid because I'm an old man, but, you know, I am anxious to see him out on the hill. And Tarantola, pitcher for us, you know, has done a great job. He's on the roster. So we've got some kids. We got Murdoch back, you know, who was in the organization, and he was claimed last year. Just throwing the ball good. So we still have some people that can help us out at the big league level, but we'll have to wait and see.
Mike Jerschley with us. And Jersh, before we let you go, how cool is it to see your son coaching third base in the big leagues for the White Sox? And did you tell him to send Gordon if he ever runs into that situation?
Oh, of course you have to bring that one up.
Of course, it wouldn't be fair if we didn't. But I mean, it's got to be fun watching. And you made the right decision, by the way, with Gordo. He would have been out by a country mile. But how cool is it to see your son doing what you did at the big league level? That's got to be one of the coolest things ever.
Well, it is exciting. I'm happy for him. I'm proud of him, and you know he's worked hard. You know he's played. He played in the minor league. He worked his way up to AAA level, and then got into coaching. And you know he deserves everything he's got, and he's worked. He's put a lot of time in, and he's good at it. And he just we joke back and forth. We talk almost nightly, and you know he knows what he's doing over there, and he says, "You think I should have sent that guy, or you think I should have held him up, or whatever?" And you know, we talk things out, and he's having a good time. So he likes the organization, and Getsy's taking care of him, and he loves Will Venable over there with the White Sox. So you know, I'm just really happy for him. He got there a lot quicker than I did. So.
No doubt about it. Well, Jersh, we appreciate the time. Keep Cags moving in the right direction. And the next time we talk to you, hopefully he's coming up to the big leagues.
We will. We'll get him going. We'll get him up there and help our big league club. So,
thanks for the time, Jersh.
You betcha.
Mike Jerschley there. That's cool. I didn't know his son was in the leagues. Mm-hmm. I was today years old when I found out.
White Sox third base coach. Yeah.
There you go.
Following his pop's footsteps, man. It's cool.
Pretty solid footsteps to follow.
No doubt.
Major League third base coach, that's a nice gig.
Mm-hmm.
Until. There's one time he's like, man, I knew you were going to ask me about that. No, that's good. I'm glad that, you know, you asked him the question about, you know, how do you see a guy do that? And I love how he's like, we have one job right now in Omaha, and that's to get this massive human being in Kansas City. I love that. I think that there is obviously time and effort that needs to be put in, but the story of being around the cage in spring training where it's like, the hell are you doing here, man? Mm-hmm. Like, you're getting the coach's approval to leave.
Right.
That's like if we're hanging around the studio and Spec comes into the bullpen's like, why are you guys still here? How many times do you hear it, right? If like Bob's got somewhere to be real fast and got to take care of something, and then you and I got to like cut some audio for a open or something, and here comes Rob Britton like, wow, what the hell are you guys still doing
exactly.
here?
Exactly. Yeah.
Like, because nobody else stays after their shows are out here. They all get here before their shows.
Oh, you know? Right.
So, you know, there's nobody here.
We work
the
harder
shows, right?
and smarter.
That's well, yeah, it's true.
But no, it's interesting to hear that because I've told people this for the last 3 weeks at least, or since I got back from Springfield, that's who this kid is. Man, he's not showstopper. He's not the heartbreak kid. He's not about himself. He's getting calls from Cotrero and JJ and taking those phone calls as, oh my God, this is a major league manager and a major league general manager telling me that everything's going to be fine. Keep doing what you're doing. Trust the process. Unlike Joel Embiid or the stadiums, but like, trust your process with what you're doing. Everything's going to work out. Listen to these guys. They're helping you out. The Rusty Kuntz shot was hilarious. Maybe we can get Rusty's side of it later this week, but that's what you're looking for in a player for your franchise. He's not a savior. He's not that guy. He just wants to be part of the team. And that is exactly what Jack Caglione will be. He will just be an addition to your team that just so happens to have ungodly amount of talent and power and a great head on his shoulder. Because Jersh said it. I said, what's the best part about Jack Caglione? His size, his power, or the head on his shoulders. All of it done with the response. I love that.
Yeah.
That's what you want to hear. And I get it. They're biased. They have to be. That's their homegrown talent. But his one job right now that he just told us is to get him ready for the big leagues, and they're going to work like hell to do it.
And hopefully it happens sooner rather than later, and now the onus falls on Rusty to get him ready in the outfield. And as soon as that happens, I'm sure we'll see him up here at the big league level.
No doubt about it. So the SEC's decided to part ways. Is that the truth about the NCAA?
I don't know. Is anybody else just over college sports?
Not Mac. He's got a video game coming out in about a month.
About a month. Like, I'm excited about
I know.
That.
You're
no doubt, dude.
I saw it yesterday. I was like, Mac.
Yeah, but this is where the age generation kind of takes over, because you're at 26, 27 years old. I'm at 47 years old, right?
I'm 30.
And you're 37 years old. And so what we're going through right now is new for you. This is what you think reality is, because all this college realignment stuff started when you were about 10. And I'm not lying about it. It's been going on for about 15 years. So this is normal for you. What I'm looking at right now is not even abnormal anymore. It's I'm done with summers of college sports. Every summer since 2010, 2011, when the Big 12 fell apart at the Fairmont and Josh was on vacation and had no idea that the Big 12 conference, you know, dissipated right before our eyes, we've been doing this every single summer now. It's conference realignment. It's, you know, conferences threatening. It's teams threatening. Mm-hmm. It's moving around. Every summer, it seems to be nothing but utter chaos. And I saw the SEC yesterday is talking about moving away from the NCAA and doing their own thing, and maybe the Big Ten's going to join them. And I'm like, I just can't deal with this anymore. Every year, it's got to be something. We're coming off, I think, a pretty successful college football season, right? If you want to tweak the playoff format and how you seed and add a few more teams in, that's fantastic. But if you get to the point where the college football playoff is just the SEC and the Big Ten, that's not interesting. That's baseball in May. It's just not that interesting if you're only going to include those two conferences. But this now in college sports is getting to the point of the boy who cried wolf. It's getting old. Every year it's something. Every year it's something different. Every year it's realignment. Every year it's a conference leaving. Every year it's just something so stupid that is ready to upset the apple cart as we know it in college sports. Why don't we just shut this thing down for as long as it takes, years, until they get this thing figured out and then start up again anew? Because I don't know if other people are in that same mode that I'm in right now, but I am so over hearing about the dysfunction every year for the last 15 that engulf college athletics right now. They never figure anything out.
I don't want to shut it down. That's not fair to the kids that are athletes.
You're right. It's not.
So I don't think that should be a possibility. Definitely zig away from that. I have no interest in shutting college sports down because that's just not fair to the kids that play.
You're 100% right about
that. The problem is it's the old heads that screwed it up.
Right.
So it's their situation that they need to figure out. Realignment, I mean, yeah, it's like you said, Mac was 10, I was, I don't know, 20. And I just always said, as soon as it happened, my only take on that was, this is the beginning of the end. That's all I said. It's like, once you allow an inch, they're going to take many, many, many miles. And that's what they're doing.
Because, and that's what it's been for 15 years.
Right, because they can't get it right.
Right. Or they can, but they just don't want it because they always think there's more.
Well, and they've already had a savior. They've had ESPN and ABC kind of take over college football because the ratings were so bad. So then ESPN's like, well, here's what we're going to do. We're going to put our best people on it. College game day show's gotten better, right? Corso's mm-hmm. out. Now mm-hmm. it's Alabama Jones. Still can't get over the fact that Shane Gillis called him that last year. It was awesome. One of the best lines ever. I don't think Nick Saban liked that very much. But, like, that show's great. They've started there.
Mm-hmm.
College game day is theater. Like, it's – you want to be –
it's entertaining. You want it. It's a must-see. It's, like, it's the second best sports show on TV behind Inside the NBA.
McAfee Sprinkle is – entertaining.
Very good.
The people that don't like it are the ones that want to go back to the old days that just think that they need to see, okay, well, they want Lou Holtz.
Right.
Essentially.
Exactly, yeah.
Which is ironic because Lou Holtz does the warning read before McAfee's show. It's fantastic. So many people on this show are going to cuss. Be parental advisory. This is Lou Holtz. Don't take it seriously.
Right.
Please be advised.
I'm not asking we go back to that way. I'm just asking, figure it the F out, man.
I mean, just make a North, East, South, and West.
Yeah, and go 64 teams. There's nothing more entitled than college athletic department people. I mean, those people think that they rule the world, and they want all the money for themselves. They don't want it for the kids, and they don't want the money just for themselves, for their university. They want it literally for themselves, like this Greg Sankey guy. I have people in my room asking, why are we still in the NCAA? That's the commissioner of the SEC. Mm-hmm. Secede. See what happened the last time the South seceded. How well did that go for you, right? Not good. And so if you want to go out on your own, go for it. It's just not going to be that interesting. You're going to be playing amongst yourselves, and then you're going to get to the end of the season and you're going to be like, well, now what? Nothing. This is it. You chose to leave. This is the bed that you made in. Like, every year there's not going to be more money. The grass isn't always greener. College athletics for the last 15 years has told us every summer they believe the grass is greener somewhere else. And quite honestly, it hasn't been. Getting the college football playoff has been great. Other than that, I could care less.
I'm surprised that that's your take, though, because you're very much, you know, the big dogs is what we want to watch. We want to watch the main players.
All of the big dogs. I don't need to just watch Vanderbilt.
Well, that's the Big Ten and the SEC. That's all the big dogs. You could add a couple from maybe a conference here or there. You know, no more than seven or eight schools you're going to mention that aren't in the Big Ten and the SEC real, true big dog players. So I think they're headed in the right direction. Let's take a 50-team league of the best teams. Let's have some relegation. Probably won't get there for a long time.
Well, if you're going to bring in relegation to the conversation, I'm all ears for this, and I think you should. I mean,
that's the dream scenario, but let's forget relegation because we know they're idiots. That'll take 40 years. But let's just start with the 50 best teams.
How do you determine who are the 50 best teams?
SEC, Big Ten, and then
Vanderbilt does not belong amongst the 50 best teams, okay? Neither does Indiana, neither does Purdue, neither does Maryland or Rutgers.
Then what you want to create is a football-only conference, which would be great, because Vanderbilt absolutely does belong in the big dogs when you're talking about baseball.
But we're not talking about that because none of those sports matter. And I hesitate to say that because kids play those sports, but when you're determining about money and where it's generated, baseball and softball don't mean anything.
Great, let's do football-only, so KU's not in.
That's fine.
Great.
I have no problem with that. They haven't done anything to deserve to be one of the top 50 teams in college football at this point in time. Do you think you're going to insult me?
I don't think they make the cut.
Damn it. K-State's a
borderline
50 school. Missouri's a borderline school.
Missouri probably in.
I think they're as borderline as anybody in all of this.
And
if you
make the college football playoff, you're automatically in the next year.
Yeah, that's
so
fine.
Indiana's in this year.
Yeah.
Indiana's in.
Great. Yeah. Great. Fine. Fantastic. I have no problem with relegation. I have no problem. Like 50, I don't like. I would go 64 just for division's sake. Makes it easier. It's cleaner. It's a lot more simpler when you're going 50 or with 64 and you divide it by four and you have 16 teams apiece, but as opposed to 50 divided by four is an uneven number.
Yes. But you like cutting off the loose ends, though. Which is what I think Greg Sankey's trying to do.
I think 64 is good, though. I think that's a good number. It's perceived to be good for the NCAA tournament. You got, as Dusty mentioned, north, east, south, and west, 16 teams in each quadrant, and boom, let's go and play, you know, your college football that way and mix it all up too. We don't need the SEC and the Big Ten dominating one half of the bracket all the time. That's not fun for anybody either.
Either way, college football screwed itself many, many years ago, and they haven't done anything to help themselves out.
Well, all they do is try to steal from each other and say why we're better than you. That's all it is. Like it's just getting to the point of white noise now. Every year, like Groundhog Day, you wake up at the end of May when these conference meetings start, and it's always about realignment. It's always about changing conferences. It's always about getting rid of small schools. It's always about better TV deals. It's always about merging. Enough, man. Stop the ride and figure it out and come back to the table with a plan so we don't have to go through this every summer. Because I know how much anxiety there are for fans like Kansas and Kansas State and Missouri wondering if they're going to be part of this party that's coming up or maybe not. And they're going to be on the outside looking in. And then what's the point? Like, if you're not one of the 64, why even bother having a team at that point in time?
True.
Coming up on the other side. Mac was 17 years old when this guy's career started. Hadn't even graduated high school. That's how old we get, right? You ready for that? Year 9. What are we expecting for Patrick Mahomes on the other side? 913-586-7965. You're listening to 96.5 The Fan. You're home for Kansas City Sports.
Hey, it's Michael Wacha, and you're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your home for Royals baseball. 96.5 The Fan.
We'll have manager Matt Cotrero join the show. After that, we will have Ms. Holtis join the show. We'll have Tammy Holtis on the show to talk about guns and hoses. We'll get that for you, the information for that event as well. Wonderful event that they put on, and we'll have all the information for you for that. Cotrero again at 9, Tammy Holtis immediately after. But right now, we talk about this because it was the most famous OTA shot of them all. Patrick Mahomes walking into the door.
Was that not good? He had his bottle of water.
That was there.
Ready to go.
Whatever the hell that sweatsuit was, I'm not sure what it was.
That looked like from 1975. I think my dad had that when I was a kid. everything old is new again, I guess, right?
We should, we should introduce Bob to the 1975.
Yeah.
Yes. I would love that.
I think you, yeah, I think you'd like two or three songs. You'd be like, all right, back to something different.
And then he'd be
what the hell was that?
Yeah. I think you'd be down with it. British punk rock. Taking a time of absence right now. So they'll be back soon, hopefully. But it is year 9 of Patrick Mahomes. What are your feelings on what Patrick Mahomes will be in year 9?
Well, I think it's going to be his second greatest season ever. I think he's going to be, it's never going to be 50 and 5,000 as I say that. 50
you don't
and 5,
know that.
000, you know? But the 17th game, the 18th game changes a lot. You know, you had two more games on there. You got the opportunity for probably another 600-700 yards passing when you had that 18th game in. So it may happen again because of the amount of games.
600-700 yards passing in one game?
No, for two games combined. Okay, you had the 16th, the 17th, and 18th game.
Hell yeah, dude. Let's do it.
I said you had the 17th or 18th game, probably got another 600-700 yards passing. You know, but I think he's going to have the best year of his career, save that opener.
Okay.
I love it.
I think this is an interesting year for Patrick Mahomes because I don't want to say that you're taking the training wheels off after this year, but you are losing your big brother after this year and it's going to be a different looking franchise. And it's funny how Brady and Mahomes' career kind of are opposites with what their main targets were for their career. I yes know that Randy Moss played under Tom Brady,
right,
and had a very special year, but we always comp Brady and Gronk to Mahomes and Kelce. And Brady got Gronk kind of towards the middle / end, and then Mahomes had Kelce at the beginning till the middle.
Mm-hmm.
And this is a year where I think it's one of those years where, yeah, this is the last dance, but it's also, hey, after this, like 87 ain't going to be there for you. That vice, that crutch that was always there for you for however many years, 9 years now, will be gone. And I think it's going to be interesting because I said, like you had mentioned, I think you said Mahomes is going to have his second best career statistic wise.
Mm-hmm.
I think this is a year where Travis Kelce goes not over 800 yards receiving. I don't think that's a knock on things, but what do the Chiefs always do? They're a year ahead, and everyone's going to say next year, well, let's see how Patrick Mahomes was without Travis Kelce this year. Can they still be the same team? I can already hear it. A year from now, that'll be the conversation, and everybody will go back and say,
wait, the same people who said Kelce's washed and it's time for him to move on are going to be the same people that are saying, can Patrick do it without Travis?
You better believe it.
You got it.
And
wow.
And what's going to happen is everyone that follows this team closely and religiously and knows what this team is about will say, well, technically, last year, Travis Kelce was the fourth leading receiver on the roster, so Mahomes already kind of knows what it's like to go on without. And yes, it will be a bittersweet ending. I hope it ends in confetti and a proposal and a Super Bowl trophy and all that sort of happy ending stuff.
But last year was the Hallmark movie. It Do you think they'll allow that to happen this year with Buffalo being the Hallmark special?
No, because they don't have any confetti.
Oh, that's true.
So that's a big prop they're missing out on the set of that. So I think that is interesting to see how this year is for Mahomes because this is kind of the year where I know Chris Jones, Patrick Mahomes, Travis Kelce, I guess you could throw Trent McDuffie in there as kind of like the core group of guys that lead this team, but it will be no doubt inevitably the guy solo by himself where it's 15. It's not 15 and 87. That is now a steakhouse at the Lowe's Hotel. Now it'll be 15 and 15's team. It won't be, oh, well, he's got Travis Kelce. Well, he had Travis Kelce last year. Yeah, but Travis Kelce was the fourth leading receiver in the system. What's it going to look like with Noah Gray getting more implicated into this offense? So I'm very excited to see what Mahomes can do with a new haircut, a better offense, a healthier offense.
A velour sweatsuit and a bottle of water. I mean, it all works. I mean, you see a man in a velour sweatsuit walking in with a bottle of water, you stay away because that guy's got business to take care of. And so he is going to take care of business this year. And I mean that in all seriousness. That dude's going to take care of business this year. And it's going to be an unbelievable show that they're going to put on. And I think it's going to be fun. They're going to have fun. There's going to be hidden Easter eggs all season long for us to try to figure out. I have that feeling as well. We're going to see the deep ball back because of the speed that you have. you know, on this team right now. But look, Tom Brady did it with different people all the time. When he started his career, who was the guy who played both ways for the New England Patriots? Troy Brown, right? That was like his number one wide receiver, decent enough running back, you know, in the early years with Tom Brady. Tom Brady is a good study of how the NFL has truly evolved, right? Because you went from a quarterback under center with a good running back and a good defense to the end where the defense really didn't matter. It was all about throwing the ball to Gronk and Randy Moss and putting up points to an offensive standpoint. I mean, so guys can change their entire arc of their career as the league changes. Nobody's done it better than Tom Brady over the course of anything in any sport of changing who they were as a quarterback. He went from a guy that was just a guy to the greatest of all time in the span of 20 years and doing it with different weapons and changing up and changing as the league changed and kind of always staying one step ahead. That's where we're going to be with Patrick Mahomes. And in a couple of years, we're never going to forget about Travis Kelce. We're going to be like, man, Noah Gray stepped up. Or maybe it's Rashee Rice that's become the guy, or Xavier Worthy. Or maybe there's some guy in college right now that we don't even know about that becomes the next guy. The guy that's playing lacrosse at Kentucky that becomes Julian Edelman or whatever the case may be. Yeah. You know, this organization has a knack for figuring it out, just like the Patriots did. Nobody was worried in New England when anybody left. It was like, well, we got Tom and Bill. We'll be just fine. And that's where I am with the Chiefs. Until I'm shown otherwise, as long as we have Patrick and Andy, I don't give a rip who else is around.
Yeah, they went from, Welker to Edelman, Moss to Gronk, right? They fed targets, the trusted targets, and it worked in that system because of who they had at head coach and who they had at quarterback. So.
And you have the system in place and you have leadership in place. Everything takes care of itself. Your successes are based on your leaders in any organization. Great organizations have great leaders. We have great leaders with the Chiefs, man, like better than anybody could have ever expected. And quite frankly, better than we deserve, you know, like that's how good they are as leaders from the top on down. They lead this organization in the right way. And as long as they're in place and that leadership's there and the plan is in place that everybody's going to follow and everybody knows what they're supposed to do, this is going to be a well-oiled machine. We've lost a lot of guys over the years, and we still continue to win.
It's kind of like the leaders in the New York baseball world. Aaron Judge, 395 average, 18 home runs, 47 RBI. Juan Soto, 228 average, 8 homers, 25 RBI. Not hitting behind Aaron Judge anymore.
Not hitting behind Aaron Judge, not playing for the Yankees, and you're playing for the Mets. And so that's what happens when you take the money and run. You don't have all the things in place that make you a successful organization.
Coming up, a guy from New York, now in Kansas City, who has this organization playing successful baseball. That is Matt Quatrero. He will join the show on the other side here on Fesco and Dusty on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
Fesco and Dusty. Subscribe and watch the show on YouTube by going to our channel at The Fan 96.5, Kansas City's FM sports station, 96.5 The Fan.